The Old Testament reading for Monday, Thursday is from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll sing hymn number 630.
Thank you.
rise for the reading of the gospel. Tonight's gospel comes from Mark chapter 14, beginning at the 12th verse. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went into the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" And he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke and gave it to them, saying, "Take, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of the Lord. You should be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? Preparation for the Passover, preparation for the meal, is still a question that disciples of Jesus ask. Where and what are fitting preparation to receive Christ? There are all kinds of very straightforward answers, and confirmation would typically deal with some of them. The front of our hymnal in our communion statement deals with such straight answers. But tonight, I want to focus upon the action of that first Lord's Supper. The scriptures often deal in symbol and metaphor. Like so much of life, we either find God hiding in the midst of everyday things, or the world becomes flat. We attune ourselves to the poetry of God's good creation, or it all becomes prose. And worse than just prose, it becomes more like IRS instruction booklets. The disciples are told that they will meet a man carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Now, that symbol could have been anything. It could have been a colt tied to a post. It could have been, "Go talk to Jake on Straight Street." But this is a jar of water, which ties it symbolically to at least two things: the wedding at Cana and baptism. The man with the water enters the house with a large furnished room. We enter the place where the teacher eats with his disciples through those waters of baptism. That's the reason that a traditional church architecture, the baptistry, was out there in the narthex. And that's the reason why I put it out there. We enter the upper room through those waters. Go find the guy carrying the water. And when you enter, like at Cana, those waters are turned to wine. At Cana, they had seven jars, a complete number, that Jesus told them to fill up to the rim. They did. And when they came back to the feast, the water was wine, the best wine of the wedding celebration. We are not yet at that final eschatological feast. But here, in a large furnished room, we have a foretaste of the water turned to wine, part of a fitting preparation is baptism and the desire for the wedding feast. The second part of preparation Jesus instructs when he states, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." It's the disciples' reaction that is instructive. And we must remember or bring before our eyes the participants. The 12 are there, including Judas. In Mark's story, Judas has already been to the chief priests. Judas went to them to plot after he was told to be quiet about the woman who poured perfume over Jesus' head. Yet here he is at the supper. There is one who knows it is he. And there are 11 who think it could be them. Those 11 are sorrowful and turn to Jesus and ask, "Me?" Afraid of the answer, knowing that it could be them, knowing their own sinful state. And that one joins in "me," knowing it is him, feigning sorrow, but not sorry that night at all, being completely justified in himself and the actions he's going to carry out. It's here that we see a fitting preparation, a repentance, an acknowledgement that, yes, we are sinners who could betray our Lord, and contrition, sorrow at that reality. It's also here that we see the two-edged nature of this meal. Received properly, it is the blood of the new covenant poured out for many. Received properly, it's the foretaste of the Cana feast in the kingdom of God. Received like the wine, it would have been better for that man if he had never been. This is not a simple meal. It's God himself, hidden under the bread and the wine. Heavenly bread that makes the hungry whole, or the kiss of betrayal. Preparation is a fitting question. One other thought. I want to juxtapose specifically two of the disciples. Jesus says that the one who betrays him is the one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. I think we normally take that as a reveal, but it couldn't have been. If it was, wouldn't Peter have taken up and thrown that one out? The reality is that they all betrayed him at one level or another that night. They all ran out just a few hours later. They would have all shared in that dish during the Passover meal. But the two that are put forward are Peter and Judas. Peter, in his bumbling, stumbling, reactionary way, "I never knew him," he says to the water girl. And Judas does it for 30 pieces of silver. And both of them were sorry later for what they did. But Peter believed that the grace was larger than the betrayal, that the blood of the covenant could cover even that. And it did. I think it's instructive that neither Jesus nor any of the disciples turn immediately to Judas or to chase him out or even to suspect him. The meal is received by both. If this meal is to be received by the lowest sinner for their good, there's always the risk that Satan is going to be part of the company. But that judgment is left for when this life is over. Right now, this is the blood of the covenant that covers all of our sins. This is the offer of grace for all who would believe. We all have fallen short, but God deigns to dwell with sinners lowly. Amen.